So yesterday we read Parshas Kedosh, Parshas Emor here in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutzot they're still reading Parshas Kedoshim. So in a certain sense it's like an overlap of the two Parshas. Now Parshas Emor touches on many different issues. One thing I'd love to discuss with you after we go through this pre-tzaddik, if we have time, and that again depends upon you. And if any of you are seeing yourself as... Oh, forget it. Never mind. Just wondering how much you are obligated to stick to the rules. Okay, fine. But scratch that comment. Okay. So we'll get back to Mirtz Hashem. I'd love to talk to you about the last section of Parshas Emor, which is the Makalel as Hashem, no Kevis Hashem, the one who blasphemes against God and is put to death. That's an interesting parsha. I'd love to discuss you on a Hashkafic level. Now, what is Reb Tzadok HaKohen interested in here? The Torah says, Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani, and the Torah identifies God and Kedusha as one. Somehow, we should sanctify ourselves, and that relates to God as the source, so to speak, of sanctity. The Targum Yonas Ben Uziel, which should be the first source on your page, makes a very, very strange comment here. And that is, that somehow this pasuk and this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu is related to tefillah. And in the language of Targum Yonasan, Tiskadshun v'tevin kadishin begufayhun, you should sanctify your bodies, mitol, so that the akavil beru'uat slosocha, so that I will accept beratzon with divine will your tefillos. Anahu Hashem mekadshukha. And offhand, this is a curveball, so to speak. But I mean, who would ever think that Kedoshim Tiyu would command a person to sanctify his body so that God will accept his prayers? Prayer seems to be a very foreign element.
But it sounds like we should like work out so that our tefillah is better.
Yeah, maybe a workout, you know, at the gym a few times a week, and that's going to sanctify your bodies, depending upon who's there in the gym at that time. And with that sanctification, you're ready for the level of tefillah, which God promises He will accept your tefillahs. Now, I just want to mention in passing that yesterday was my father's yahrzeit. My father passed away on the 6th of Iyar. And I remember many times in which my father would ask me this question. He would challenge me as a youth growing up, what is the key to a good life? And my father was interested in seeing whether or not I knew a Jewish perspective on this question. You know, he knew that I was interested as a youth growing up in philosophy. I always was interested in philosophy. In fact, I have my undergraduate and graduate degrees in philosophy, my BA, my MA. And in the world of philosophy and ethics, there's a major discussion about what the key of key is to guarantee the good life. The Greeks, for example, believed in the intellect, in wisdom. And that's where they put all their emphasis. And then there was another school of thought in philosophy called the Stoics. And they believed in self-control and discipline. Then there was the Epicureans. They believed in the pleasure principle and to minimize pain and suffering and maximize pleasure. So my father used to always teach me that Kedoshim Tiyu, that the main attribute that holds within it the key to success from a Jewish perspective is Kedusha. And he used to point out that if you open up Parshas Kedoshim, you'll see a real wide variance of mitzvahs that are included on the Kedoshim Tiyu, including both Bein Adam L'Makom, like for example Kedushas Kohuna, because a Kohen is designated to serve in the Mikdash, or Nazir, for example, is sanctity because he serves God in his particular way. And yet the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reach Kamoch is also in Parshas Kedoshim. And all the mitzvahs of Leket, Shikra, Peyav, of Matnas Aniyim, they all are included under Kedusha. And sanctity basically is the overriding attribute, all-inclusive, all-arching, you know, attribute that guarantees you success in every area if you're loyal and you're dedicated to Kedusha. The Tzidkas HaTzadik of Rav Tzadik HaKohen that's in front of you on the page, you have it in small print. I was able to expand it from my eyes onto larger page, but it's the same identical text. He has a fascinating theory about Kedusha, and tefillah, prayer, plays a major role in his worldview. And he sees all of life as an ongoing struggle or a challenge to face the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara, he identifies with chutz, and man's relationship to Kedusha, to an intimate relationship with the Almighty, is called Pnim. What is the method of the Yetzer Hara to undermine our sanctity? It's to take those machshavos, those thoughts which he calls chutz, and have them penetrate bifnim. That's when he celebrates his victory, his success, when he can take those machshavos and enter into the pnim. Now, when is the epitome of pnim? When does man reach that pinnacle relationship in front of Almighty God? That he calls tefillah, that he identifies with prayer. Prayer has to be what he calls lenochach Hashem. Lenochach Hashem means when I have a direct relationship with the Shekhinah, like the Rambam, for example, identifies kavanah v'tefillah, which is essential to tefillah, as omid lefnei Shekhinah. At that moment, when there are no interruptions or interferences, no barriers or impediments that prevent me from reaching that close relationship of tefillah, of omid lefnei Hashem, that is the epitome of Kedusha. That's when I reach Ani Hashem. That's why the Targum Yonasan identifies Kedusha and Tiyu with tefillah. If you achieve the apex of tefillah, which means that you can push out any sort of machshavos chutz, where the Yetzer Hara, who's trying to take these machshavos zaros and penetrate bifnim. My wife, for example, comes from a family of Belz and Chassidim. And Belz has a sheet of davening fast. And they used to give the mashal that if you have a train and people want to get on the train while it's moving, if it's moving slowly, you can jump on the train. If it's moving fast at the speed of light, nobody can get on the train except those who are already inside the train. So they felt that the Yetzer Hara is trying to penetrate into the pnim with these mashal zoros. And if the train is moving fast, the trouble is that most people, when they daven fast, they don't have time to even think about what they're davening. But in theory, the method might work. So the ultimate goal and success of a Jew is to be connected to the Shekhinah in such a way that it's to the exclusion of others. And those others are trying to penetrate inside with the power of machshavos zaros, machshavos chutz. Now here he quotes the Degel Machna Ephraim. The Degel Machna Ephraim was the grandson of the Vilna Gaon. Of the Baal Shem Tov. His name is Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim. Just a few scratches of biographical background. He was born in Poland in the year 1748, and he died in Er in the year 1800 at the age of 52. He was the Baal Shem Tov's grandson, and a lot of the Mesorah, because the Baal Shem Tov didn't allow anyone to write down his Chidushim, a lot of what we know in the name of the Baal Shem Tov comes from his grandson, Rav Moshe Chaim B'Degel Machna Ephraim. And he transmits a lot of the classic Hasidic ideas that came from his grandfather, the Baal Shem, the ideology of the Baal Shem. In any event, Rav Tzadik HaKohen quotes this sefer called the Degel Machna Ephraim. And the question is, how to interpret a particular pasuk in Sefer Vayikra? The Torah says at the beginning of Achrei Mos that when the Kohen Gadol went lifnai v'lifnim, which was the apex of tefillah, of the relationship with the Nochach Hashem of Shekhinah, It says in the pasuk, "V'chol adam lo yia ba'ol moed bivoo lechapir b'kodesh ad seiso," that no one was allowed to accompany the Kohen Gadol when he went in lifnai v'lifnin. He had to be totally alone. And this becomes the symbolic paradigm of tefillah, of prayer. And he writes here in the Tzidkas HaTzadik on the top of your page number 2, he writes, "Tov, b'tfila tov, she'ispal b'makom she'ein b'nei adam sham." He should daven alone. There are no other people around him. Why? "Ki heim mevalbalim oso," they confuse him, "b'pnios u'b'machshovos chutz, v'shar machshovos zoros, ba'al yodam." They become, so to speak, conduits to thoughts that distract him from tefillah. Right? You think about the people around you, and you're not thinking about Hashem. And here he quotes the Degel Machna Ephraim on the pasuk Adam Lo Yia Boyol Moed Bevo Lechaper Bakodesh. And just like the Kohen Gadol should go lifnai v'lifnim without anyone else, in a singular focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exclusive of any other people that might distract him, so too, when a person davens, he should make sure that there's no one around who can distract him. Why? Because these other people are not praying. But tefillah b'tzivur, if other people are praying together with him, then they're involved in their prayer, you're involved in your prayer, and they're not trying to distract you, and you're not distracted by them, that's tefillah b'tzivur. But when you're davening b'yachidus on your own, alone, then you should be alone, literally alone. No one should be around you that might, in a sense, jeopardize your ability to focus exclusively on Hashem, on the Shekhinah.
It's so interesting that, you know, that you want to daven with the tzibur, but it sounds like you really don't want to daven. Like, you want to be with the tzibur, but you want to be like,
alone at the same time. Tzibur, yeah. Right. Well, as long as they're davening with you, then their tefillos, in a sense, are, you know, integrated to your tefillah. That strengthens your tefillah. But if they're not davening, then they become distractions. Guess you want to say something? He says that the same thing applies to Torah study. He says that in Torah study, it's very critical to have this total focus and not be distracted. The Yetzer is going to penetrate into your mind with Machshavah Zoros. And therefore, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Pesachim, "Lo tishane begova shel ir," which means you should not be studying Torah in a public place. He says, "When you'll ask me," the Gemara says in Masechta Nedarim, "Hizaru b'chabura," be very careful to learn Torah with others, like we're doing now. "V'chein b'kam b'komo sol kavruso v'susa," many such statements. "Hainuk shalom demacher mimayim," if they're all learning together, that's great. That's a chabura. "Avolo b'makom b'nei adam she'ein lom b'imo," if he's trying to concentrate on his learning when others are around, and then not involved or dedicated to learning, that's going to be a distraction. He says, "Afilu k'sheyesh b'nei adam tzarech l'tzayer v'machshavto," how does he focus his intention in order to exclude all those others who are around him and are not learning, they're not studying? He's got to imagine in his mind, "Ke'ilu ein ish ba'olam," there's no one around. He's absolutely alone. And that's what the Degel Machna Ephraim teaches us as part of this Hasidic tradition.
But Rabbi, by the Kohen Gadol, he, like, if he spaced out for a second, he would die, right? Like, he would, you know, here it's,
I don't know if he would die, but at that moment, he's not considered standing in front of Hashem. In other words, how do I generate this status of Omeg Lifnei Shekhinah? It's not just enough that I stand up and I say, "Oh, the Shekhinah is here." I can only do so and only accomplish that goal when I'm totally single-mindedly focused on the Shekhinah. As soon as I'm distracted, then the Yetzer Hara is claiming victory. He successfully undermined your ability to stand in close proximity to Hashem. Now, if you take a look at number 3 on your page, the same author in a different os, a different siman, he says the following. He says that, what is the primary challenge or battle, a struggle that we have with the Yetzer? He says, it's because of dimyonos, all sorts of thoughts and imaginations in the heart and in the mind. And here he quotes the Zohar, and the Zohar says that whoever can successfully overcome this power of the Yetzer Hara with its imaginations and its thoughts is Yavin Le Barta de Malka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of Kings, says, I'll give you my daughter to marry. And what is that referring to? Again, it's all symbolic. Dot Slusa, that's Tefillah. Tefillah is such a close relationship, it's almost like a marriage relationship. Shat Tefillah hi hakoras hanochach. Tefillah means that I recognize that I'm standing in front of Hashem. And I'm standing in front of the King. And he quotes the Gemara in Erevin, that it means Amidas Halev Amoch, and it's the mind and the heart will determine what you speak and your prayers as you formulate them, whether they are indeed prayer. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees into your heart, and if, heaven forbid, a machshava zara, some sort of external, extraneous thought pops into your head, at that moment he says, Hare Eino Omed. Again, I would underline this one. This is mind-boggling. If anybody wants to borrow my pen. Hare Eino Omed Bioso Rega Lefanav Yisparach. At that moment that he's thinking those thoughts, he says he's not standing in front of Hashem. Okay. However, if he successfully overcomes his Yetzer and he's able to push away these thoughts and these imaginations, then he's nochach in front of Hashem at the time of his tefillah, and he reaches this great, great level. Now at this point, you should have the next line should say, Vizeo smichus gula tefillah. You have that? So you just know where we're up to.
Next line in three?
Yeah, in three. Do you have such a line? Because I want to take a little bit of a break, so to speak, and fast forward to number four for a moment. And then we'll come back to number three, Be'ezer Hashem. And in number four, he quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, and I think we could all relate to this Gemara. The Gemara says, Iyun Tefillah Ein Adam Nitzol Mimena B'chol Yom. No one can claim that he has successfully overcome this battle against the Yetzer Hara and achieved Iyun Tefillah, to be totally, exclusively focused on his prayers. So the issue is not, are you thinking about something else, but what are you thinking about? Like, you know, you have to give Yashar Koach to your head for bowing at the time that you're supposed to bow, because your brain is thinking about whatever it's thinking about. Whether it's machshavas glide, whether it's machshavas sports, whether it's machshavas noshim u'mishpacha, you know, whatever distracts you. For many of us, and I think it's a male thing, you know, we're distracted by thoughts about our work and our career. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. And what career doesn't have politics in it? You know, it's almost built into the nature of man. But whatever you're distracted by, at that moment, the pre-tzaddik says, you haven't successfully overcome the Yetzer Hara in your battle, you haven't won the battle, and therefore you're not standing in front of Hashem. And not only that, just to make you happy about it, or shall I say, misery loves company, the Gemara tells you about Basra, that ain't on the mitzvah of Menem B'chol Yom. But Tosfos and the Rosh, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, quoting Yushalmi in Brachos, and Yushalmi testifies about Reb Chiya. Now, you have to understand a little history here. Reb Chiya was one of the great Tanoim. He was in that period of time that spans the, you know, Tanoim and Amoraim. For example, his nephew was Rav, who was the first of the Amoraim. I mean, in Yerushalmi, it's questionable. Rav might be a Tana. I mean, nobody knows. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav really span that time. Reb Chiya was an absolute sanctified individual, of a giant of the first order. And yet, Reb Chiya says about himself in the Yerushalmi, Hayakore, he would declare Anon Min Yoma, from the day I guess I was born, Lo Kavnis. I didn't have Kavon in Tefillah.
Wow.
And the Ran and Tosfos quote this Yerushalmi about Reb Chiya, Kipashte. Kipashte means they take it at face value. The Reb Tzadik HaKohen is not willing to take this Gemara at face value. He says, Be'emes al anoshim gedolim ka'ela, with regard to great people of this stature, rachok milishmo azeh. He says, very hard to accept that interpretation, Befratin, especially Rav Chiya. The Gemara tells us about Rav Chiya Bav Metzila, there was a drought. And Rav Chiya got up and he prayed, and he said, Mashem Aruach Marta Goshem, and boom, the wind started blowing and the rain started falling. My wife and I just spent a week in Spain. You know, it says that the rain in Spain flows mainly on the Burzons. That's what it says. I saw more rain in 1 week in Spain than you'll see here in Israel in a year. And I'm not exaggerating. It was like mind-boggling. And before I clicked, you know, for the payment of my flights, I looked up the weather conditions in Spain. And it said sun, sun, sun. Every day was sun, the sunshine. You know, 21 degrees, 22 degrees, you know. But we did the best we could under the circumstances. We stayed mostly indoors. In any event, what does it say over here? Yesh lefarish, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, lo kavant lo kavinis. What does it mean that Reb Chiya says about himself that I didn't have kavana? Lo hutzra, I didn't need kavana. What is kavana? Kavana salev shayach bebal dimyon machshavos. Kavana salev is the effort, the great work that a person does to overcome all these imaginatory thoughts. Shaloshon meshulach ledaper, which his mouth is sort of sent on a mission to speak words of prayer. Af shalibo bal imo, but his heart is nowhere to be found because he's thinking and dreaming about something else. Vitzorech, he has to work very hard lechavin libo. But Rav Chiya lo hutzrach me'olam l'zeh, he didn't need this active kavana to fight off and stave off these outside influences and thoughts. Me'olam lo hayam mashat machshavto b'dover acher, he never thought about anything but Hashem Yisbarach. Nochach enof lo hayam medaber, anything, any words of speech that came out of the mouth of Rav Chiya, el kemedaber lifnei melech malchei hamlochim li'olam. Now, in that same Yerushalmi, it says, Yom Achad Boyis Kavonis. Rav Chiya says that one day I needed Kavona. Pirush, what does it mean? Hutzrach lekach, shahoy lo machshavos matridim. That on that particular individual occasion, isolated occasion, he had machshavos hamatridim. Why? Ulai, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, perhaps, hainu uvda debav metzia. There's a whole sugi above metzia, which I have here on another page, if you're interested. And the Gemara tells us that there was one particular occasion where Eliyahu HaNavi came when Rav Chiya was davening, and he tried to distract him from the davening. So that was the day in which Rav Chiya worked very hard to induce a kavana that would expel and overcome these machshavos hamatridos. That was only because min hashamayim they were testing him. V'yaz hutzach l'chavim libo l'hamid machshavos of keroi v'lo hoil me'achash min hashamayim hetriduhu. It was a battle between the tirda that came down through Eliyahu HaNavi from Shamayim and his kavana. Now if we go back to paragraph number 3, he says a beautiful, beautiful vort. There are two places in Masecht Brachos where the Gemara tells you how to guarantee yourself Olam Abba. One Gemara is in Brachos Daf Dalet, Ezu ben Olam Abba, is someone who recites Tehillah LeDavid, Ezu ben Omer Rabbi Yochanan, one second, I'll read to you the Lashon Gemara, called Omer Tefillah LeDavid B'chol Yom Shalosh Pa'amim. Tefillah LeDavid is what we call Asher. He says it 3 times a day. Muvtach lo shu Yehushahu ben Olam Abba. And the Gemara says, because the Ashrei has all the letters of the alphabet, and it has Poseh Siyadech Masbil Chol Chai Ratzon, fine. Muvtach lo shu ben Olam Abba. The Gemara in the same daf, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says Ezu ben Olam Abba Zasomech Geula Litfila. Now here, take a look. It doesn't say Muvtach lo shu ben Olam Abba, but Ezu ben Olam Abba. And you and I could have seen this Gemara 1,000 times without noticing it. Reb Tzadok HaKohen makes a big, big deal about it, and he writes the following. He says, "Vizeu smichus gula l'tfila." What is the deeper meaning, or shall we say, the symbolic meaning of smichus gula l'tfila? He says, "What is gula?" Gula is mitzarim. Mitzarim means, Mitzrayim means those things that keep you incarcerated. You have to break free. Right? The Yetzirah has the best, gets the best of you. Hainu, it means, because again, according to Rav Tzadik, the main challenge that we face with the Yetzirah is that he's constantly trying to penetrate into our minds all sorts of fantasies and imaginations. Yetzirah midimyon. When you're able to overcome and expel those dimyonos, that's called geula. And he says that Ezu ben Olamo v'tilul David, that's already muftach loshu ben Olam Haba. Why? He says because Tehillah David, Hainu Shemakir Shivchei Hashem Yisbarach, he recognizes the greatness of God. Shemechin Mazon L'chol Chai, that God sustains and provides for every living creature. Ubeseder Aleph Beis, and the Tehillah David has the Aleph Beis. Ubeseder Abriya Kula, that's God's creation. Shakol Mesudar Meis Hashem Yisbarach. Everything is organized by God. You have no fears. You can rely on Hashem. V'zen nikra midas emuna. That is the attribute of faith, that you have faith in God, that He sustains all of His creatures. Harezim echlal ha-Knesset Yisrael. That's what Knesset Yisrael is all about. We are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We rely on Hashem. V'nochen yiel libo batuach shu olam avo. If he has emuna, he relies on Hashem, he has faith, then he can rely on the fact that he will be given a place in Olam Haba. Avol misha yatsa midimyon, but someone who's on an even greater level, not just emuna, but he's able to expel, to subjugate all these dimyonos, that's already a different midah. Zeu midas emes. That's already not emuna, but that's called emes. You know, we say emes ve'emuna. Umasmich geul et fila. A person who experiences this geula, that means he overcomes all these yetzarot, dimyonos, and machshavos, and zoros. Such a person, zocha yideikach, lehakoras hanochach. He now recognizes that he is standing in front of Hashem. Hayidei tefila, shu yichud emes ve'emuna. And now he combines, integrates both emes and amuna. Okay, this is more Kabbalistic, has to do with Shechinta. Zeu ben olam hava, what's the next word? Please underline the next word, behova. What does behova mean? Now, right? Behova means now. Right now he's a ben olam hava. Why? Because he's standing in front of Hashem, hakara gemura. It's not a matter of relying betichus and amuna. It's a hakara gemura. He's totally aware and acknowledging that he is standing in front of Hashem. That's already emes. On that level of emes, shumevurar li'ayin, that is clear to him, like what you see with your eyes. Eino tzarech betuchos. He doesn't need reliability and bitachon. He doesn't need faith. He is experiencing God now. He's experiencing God now. I always say that that's where children have it over the adults. You know, for us, you know, we have to work hard to think about talking to God. But the children have almost this natural sense. They sense God. And, you know, I studied philosophy, as I mentioned earlier. And the philosophers spend a lot of time on trying to prove God's existence. Someone who experiences God, the way Reb Tzadok HaKohen is describing it, he doesn't need philosophical proofs, you know, for faith and emunah. He experiences mevura le'ayin. It's clear to him. Ain tzarech betuchos. Misha zochel ezeh lo shayach lomer muvtach. You don't say that he's muvtach to have a place in Olam Haba. Ela shehu zeh ben Olam Haba. He's now a ben Olam Haba. He has reached this level now, and he has achieved it. This is the insight of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. And in the pieces that begin with the middle of number four, and the balance of all these pieces, he goes into a fantastic analysis of tefillah and Torah, the two together. And he writes that when a person gets up to daven and he says Hashem svasai tiftach, and he says the word adnus, he says that that name of Hashem is the name of emes, meaning with that name of Hashem he invokes God. Svasai tiftach, that my lips should be open in prayer, that I should reach the level of nochach Hashem, that I'm in front of the Shechina, and my mouth is not just you know, mechanically, you know, muttering words, but that it's really an expression of what's in my heart, in my lave, because my lave is open to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Liban, we ask Hashem that God should open up the lave of a Jew when he stands up to daven. And he goes on to say that when a person learns Torah, there too he has to overcome the Yetzer Hara and get rid of all these machshavas zaros and create an avir, a certain atmosphere that is conducive to this focus on Hashem. He can do so as preparation for tefillah by learning. Why? Because where is the Shekhinah? The Shekhinah is in the Arba Amos Shel Halach. When you study Torah, that brings down the Shekhinah, and now you're ready to daven. And then he writes, V'shamati, ki Arba Amos Shel Halach yesh lo l'kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael has the same status as Arba Amos Shel Halach. And that's what it means when Chazal say Avira de Eretzel Machkim, that just like Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, it means Chachma, in which you're totally focused on the wisdom of Hashem, so too in Eretz Yisrael is in the atmosphere itself a kind of precipitous atmosphere of Chachma, and that replaces the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. And if a tefillah in Eretz Yisrael, he says, is a very powerful experience. I remember, I don't know if any of you can relate to this, when I came back, I studied in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years after high school, and I came back to America, I couldn't daven. Like, it was very hard for me to daven. I got so used to davening in Eretz Yisrael. So, I don't know if you can relate to that, but this is what Rav Tzadok HaKohen is telling us about. So let's take a break for a minute now, and at the end of Parshas Emor, I don't have a chumash in front of me, but the Torah tells an entire story about the blasphemer. And the Torah tells us that he was a ben Isha Yisraelis. His mother was Jewish. His father was a Mitzri. And this parasha of Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis follows immediately after the parasha of the Lechem HaPanim. And if you remember, the Lechem HaPanim was bread that was prepared before Shabbos. It was put onto the Shulchan on Shabbos, and it was eaten by the Kohanim a week later. There was something that was placed on top of the Lechem, which is called the Levona, and that also was removed only a week later, and that was placed on the Mizbeach and burnt on the Mizbeach. So immediately after the parasha of the Lechem HaPanim, we have this very strange parsha about the Ben Isha Yisraelis. And the Torah says, Vayetze, he goes out. And it says, so again, we're talking about the son of a Jewish woman. And Vayinotzu b'machna ben Yisraelis, this man whose mother is Jewish, Vayinotzu, he gets into a dispute with Ish HaYisraeli, with a Jewish man. And the Torah goes on to say, Vayikav ben ha'ish ha'Yisraelis Hashem, Vayikal, Vayavo, he curses the divine name. They bring him in front of Moshe, and he's put to death. Shem Imo, the name of his mother was Shlomit Bat Divri, Lamate Don. So she was from the tribe of Dan, and he was the son of a Mitzri. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, for who ben Ish Mitzri, an intermarriage kind of relationship. So Rashi comments that what went on over here, the Ramban actually embellishes it even more. The Torah says he goes out and he has this confrontation with an Ish HaYisraeli. And after that, he blasphemes.
The Mitri.
The Ben Isha Yisraelis. So when I say Ben Isha Yisraelis, you automatically assume he's a Ben Isha Mitri. So the question is, what went on over here? What was this confrontation that he had with her, Ish HaYisraeli? Why is he called HaYisraeli with a Hey Ayudia? Why does it come in the aftermath of the Lechem HaPanim? And why does it end up with this individual, the Ben Ha'isha Yisraelis, blaspheming? So the Ramban explains that what happened was that after the mitzvah of Lechem Apanim was given, this Ben Ishi Yisrael started making fun. He was sort of ridiculing the mitzvah. He said, what is it? A king needs fresh bread, and if he does need fresh bread, why are you putting the bread out so early? And he didn't like this whole mitzvah. And the Ish HaYisraeli, and Chazal say that the Hey HaYidiyah means that he was a very chosh of a Jew, he confronted this Ben Ish HaYisraelis, and he rebuked him and chastised him for using such harsh words about a mitzvah. As a result of this confrontation, the Ben Ish HaYisraelis was so frustrated with the Torah and the mitzvahs that he was a blasphemer, and he was no kibbutz Hashem. And this was considered very dangerous for Klal Yisrael, and Hashem said, put him to death. So that's what we have. And the question that we want to raise is, why of all mitzvahs, you know, there was, you know, there could have been an encounter or a... what word am I looking for? A dinu dvarim, you know, a shakal v'tari, about any mitzvah in the Torah. There's something here in particular that bothered the Ben Ish Yisraelis. And on the other hand, when he tried to undermine and ridicule that mitzvah, because that mitzvah is so significant, the Ish HaYisraeli took him to task for that. And what happened happened. The rebuke and so forth and so on. So to understand this, we really have to tell a story. What's the story? This story is told by the Ralbach, who was one of the Rishonim, and it dates back 1,000 years. The Gadol Hador of that time in Spain, where it rains a lot, had a some sort of an encounter with a non-Jewish theologian. Some sort of Catholic priest or whatever it was. And the non-Jewish theologian challenges this gadol, and he says, well, you have your mitzvahs, your commandments, we have ours, why do you think you're greater than us? So according to the story, I can't vouch for the story, but according to the story, the gadol invites the non-Jewish theologian to come with him for a visit to the port. The capital city of Spain is on the port, and there was industry and sailors that, you know, would sail out, and they'd take schora, sell it far away, you know, they'd go on these long trips for 6 months. And there were Jews down at the port. And he asks this non-Jew to listen carefully to what the Jews are saying to the soldiers, to the sailors. Now keep in mind, at that time, the Jews were not allowed to live inside the cities themselves. They could only live outside the city. So they didn't live in the capital city of Spain, but they came down to the port. And what were they saying to the sailors? They were offering money to the sailors to bring back esrogim. There were no esrogim to be had in Spain. And these sailors were going out to Greece, and Greece was known for esrogim. Now keep in mind that this story took place on Chanukah, about Chanukah time. Chanukah is 2 months after Sukkot, a full 10 months before Sukkot. Okay. So the Jew turns... I meant to say, they won't need these esrogim for the next 10 months.
Right?
The Jew turns to the non-Jew and he says, tell me, in your religion, are you required to prepare 10 months in advance to fulfill your religion? So he admitted that that's not so. In other words, what this gadol was trying to convey is that what's great about Judaism is that we prepare in advance. It's a little bit similar to what we discussed earlier, that the Yetzer Hara is trying to attack a Jew with machshavos zaros just when he wants to do a mitzvah. The only way the Jew can succeed against the Yetzer Hara is if he prepares himself well in advance. Mm-hmm. If you prepare yourself for a mitzvah, not only are you able to successfully overcome the Yetzer Hara and its influences and implement the mitzvah, but the mitzvah becomes that much more meaningful, that much more powerful. It uplifts you. It has an indelible impact on your soul. That's how important preparing a mitzvah is. Hachana l'mitzvah is an integral part of the mitzvah itself. That's what's unique about the Jewish religion. Where do we see this personified in the midst of Lechem Aponim? True, we could have baked the Lechem Aponim right before Shabbos. The Torah says no. Prepare the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan a week before. And that is meant to convey the message of Hachana, the significance of Hachana LeMitzvah. This Ben Ish Yisraelis couldn't understand this. You know, if you need fresh bread, why are you baking it a week in advance? He really was ridiculing and undermining the very fundamental concept of Hachana LeMitzvah. The one who counted against him was this Ben Ish HaYisraeli, with a Hey Ayadiyah. He was the God of Israel who taught that Lechem Aponim is establishing a very fundamental principle. And that is that we have to prepare for a mitzvah. Every mitzvah requires preparation. Whether it's buying an esrog in advance, whether it's preparing for tefillah, preparing for Torah study. Every mitzvah should be thought out beforehand. Now what I have here in front of me is a story about the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You heard of the Kotzker Rebbe? Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was a Lithuanian, meaning he was a misnagid. He didn't belong to the school of Hasidus. But his grandson, whose name was Leibele Eiger, became so enamored with the Kotzker Rebbe that he became a chassid to the Kotzker Rebbe. It was a little bit of a deviation from the Eiger family. And the story is told that Rabbi Leibele was so excited that when the Kotzker Rebbe passed on, he offered to pay a gold coin to anyone who would tell over something of meaning, some legacy from his Rebbe, the Kotzker Rebbe. And on one particular occasion, he met an old chassid who told him the following in the name of the Kotzker. The pasuk says in Tilm, I'll read it to you, Ki niva shachak yaruch lo, which means, who in the heavens, bashachak, shachakim are up in the heavens, can compare to Hashem? You know, as great as the angels are, you can't even compare them to Hashem. Came along the Kotzker, and he said that if you take the word yaruch, it comes from the word laruch. Laruch means to prepare, like arichas hashulchan means to prepare the table. David HaMelech is praising Klal Yisrael because he says that when it comes to the angels up in the Shechakim in the heavens, they don't prepare themselves for a mitzvah. They just go right in, they jump in and they do the mitzvah. But what's unique about the Jewish people? Yaruch lo. Yaruch lo means they prepare for a mitzvah. Before they execute the commandments of Hashem, they prepare. That preparation is going to fortify them with the ability to stave off the Yetzer Hara that's trying to undermine him and present a barrier that prevents him from doing a mitzvah. So in the case of the Shechakim and the angels, they don't have any problems, any heckling from the Yetzer Hara. They don't need preparation, but the Jewish people are so great because they prepare for a mitzvah. And that's why the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim is so central. You know, the Torah chooses this mitzvah to show that if someone argues or somehow downplays this mitzvah, he's really, in a sense, downplaying something so fundamental to Yiddishkeit, namely preparation for a mitzvah. So we have to understand that it's critical that we prepare for a mitzvah. And that is something that's intrinsic to the mitzvah of Hashem. And it doesn't exist in any other mitzvah. So that the Lechem Aponim, which is baked before Shabbos, it's arranged on the Shulchan on Shabbos, it's sprinkled with Levana, was left there for the new Lechem Aponim, which would replace the old Lechem Aponim the following Shabbos, a full week later, at which point the Levana of last week was brought on the Mizbeach, the Lechem of last week is eaten by the Kohanim. This entire process of baking and arranging Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan a week prior to its offering on the Mizbeach or its eating by the Kohanim is meant to teach us how important it is to prepare for a mitzvah. That's integral to the mitzvah, and we should never overlook that. Mm-hmm. And that's the Ish HaYisraeli who gives Musa, Tochacha, to the Ben Isha HaYisraelis, who scoffs and ridicules at this mitzvah of Lechem Aponim. And that's why the Torah included the mitzvah of Lech Maponim and this episode at the end of Parshas Emor of the blasphemer together. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emor al Kohanim bnei Aaron v'yamart aleihem." Rashi explains that this parsha of Emor opens up with a chiyuv to instruct the children. If we want to instruct the children and educate them and be successful, then we need to teach them how important it is not just to do the mitzvos, but to prepare for the mitzvos. And therefore, if we as parents will show ourselves as a good example in front of our children that we take our mitzvahs seriously and we prepare the mitzvahs, then it could be a mar v'amarta. It could really have an impact on the children, because if the children don't see their parents living up to what they preach, then they don't accept what all the teachings of their parents is. Actions speak louder than words. The Torah says with regard to Lech Maponim, "Bayom HaShabbos Yarechenu," on the Shabbos you prepare it, meaning you set it up on the tables. That is preparation for mitzvahs. So Mitzvah Hashem, if we prepare for mitzvahs, then we are zochet to do the mitzvahs on the highest level. It will have a profound influence to inspire us and impact on our souls. Kei Yiratzon.
Amen. 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 Okay.